Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Wednesday edition of the program. Glad to have you with us. We're live from the Big X studio in Jeffersonville. We do this show each weekday at 11 a.m. And of course, if you miss us, if you can't be with us live, maybe you're not in our local area here in Southern Indiana, the Louisville, Kentucky region, you can find us as a podcast. We're available on Apple Podcasts. We're also available on SoundCloud as well. So plenty of ways for you to catch up with us. And we are very glad that you're with us here on this Wednesday edition of the program. Don't forget, we'd love to hear from you. Questions, comments might get read on the air. If you got a question for one of our guests today, a topic you'd like to bring up, feel free to tweet me at Hoosier Hills. Again, all one word, Hoosier Hills on Twitter. You can also send an email to us now. I want to give that address to you, HoosierReport@gmail.com. We appreciate those of you that do contribute and encourage more of you to drop us a line. We'd love to get your comments on the air as we bring you coverage of IU and Southern Indiana sports each weekday here on the Big X Sports Radio. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one today, we'll have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll start in the headlines with Andy Katz giving his first NCAA 68 team field of 68 for the 2021 NCAA tournament. Indiana in the bracket, as I think you would expect, as we head into the preseason, and we'll tell you more about that. It's fun to look at, fun to predict ahead. No one knows exactly what's going to happen, but this Indiana team, I think you're going to see them projected as a NCAA tournament team coming out of a very strong Big Ten conference this year. We'll also talk some other college basketball notes. 20-game or 22-game schedule for Big Ten schools this year as far as conference games go. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about John Camden. He's from Pennsylvania. He's going to make a college decision today. I don't know that Indiana is really a player in this decision, but he has five schools, Indiana, one of those five schools, and we'll tell you about that again coming up in our headlines today. And then we've got to talk a little bit about Coach Mack over at Louisville. Have you followed along and seen the back and forth somewhat between him and Coach Cal at Kentucky about the Louisville-Kentucky rivalry this year? Coach Mack, who is a funny dude, he took it to a whole new level last night with a video that he put out. It was like 2 minutes or so on Twitter and really kind of trolled Calipari, to be quite honest with you. And if that series, if that rivalry, I guess the number one thing that rivalry needs is Louisville to win a game or two, because Kentucky has really dominated that series in many, many ways. But if that series needed anything else to make it more contentious and more of a rivalry that's heated, I think this little off-season banter back and forth between the coaches with Chris Mack leading that charge has probably helped in that cause, and so we'll talk about that some as well. Also, we'll take a look at high school football for the weekend. We'll tell you our plans for coverage on Friday night and more in the opening segment brought to you by Zaxby's. Later in the show, Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, he joins me as we talk IU Big Ten football in segment number two. We'll look at Marcelino Ball, that really terrible injury for him, ACL tear. He's out for the season. How Indiana can recover from that. We'll take a look at what Indiana's up to. The testing is underway for coronavirus, this rapid testing that is now available that was such a big part, I believe, of helping Big Ten football come back this season. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about some early season, some preseason scrimmages that Indiana in-house, inter-squad scrimmages is having to kind of prepare themselves for their opener against Penn State. We'll talk about Penn State. A number of other IU football and related topics coming up with Matt in segment two. Later in the show, Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, will join us. That segment presented each week by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. With Josh, we'll talk high school football and some of those storylines coming out of the weekend. We'll take a look ahead. This is week 7 of high school football. I feel like every week I'm just amazed how far we are into the season. And knock on wood, so far, so good. Not perfect. We've had New Albany lost a game last week. Providence lost a game at the start of the season. Rock Creek has lost a couple games. But other than that, so far, it's been a pretty complete, pretty full season. And outside of fans being limited in the stands, it's been pretty normal for the most part. There are some different things at games that fans have to abide by, and some different entrances and exits and restrooms and things at the concession stand might look a little different. But generally, things have been pretty regular for high school football, and that's a good thing as we turn the corner and head into the backside of the season. And, of course, think about the state tournament and think about high school sectionals in football and beyond. Going to be, no question about it, a very fun time here locally to see if we have any local teams that can make some noise. So we'll do that and more in the opening segment, and we'll catch up with Josh on some high school football as well. So a full show packed in for you here in this hour as we bring you each weekday at 11 o'clock on the Hoosier Report. That's the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out their new dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in, you can take them to go, and curbside service, it's still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. And this is just for fun, but Andy Katz, who works for the NCAA and their NCAA March Madness coverage, as it's called, he put his first bracket prediction out just under 2 months away from opening night of the college basketball season. He released his field of 68. Indiana, he has as a 5 seed, and get this, he has Indiana taking on the Louisville-San Diego State winner. Excuse me, he has Louisville-San Diego State winner in the 12 as a 12 seed. So Indiana, a 5 seed, is where he has the Hoosiers. Of course, we don't know if it's going to be in a bubble or what the exact format of the tournament will look like just yet. But he has Louisville in one of those play-in games against San Diego State. And, of course, the winner of that game taking on Indiana. The 1 seeds, Gonzaga, Baylor, Villanova. And how about this? He has Illinois as a 1 seed in his first bracket prediction of the year. I think that underscores exactly how much Andy Katz thinks of Illinois, not just in the Big Ten Conference. He had him at the top of the conference, obviously, as well. But what he thinks about them across college basketball this year. He's very high on Illinois this season, and rightfully so. They've got some key people back from last year, some guys that very easily could have, maybe would have went the NBA path had we been in a little bit more normal of a time right now, but instead chose to come back. Other returners back as well, some key newcomers. And I do agree that Illinois, I don't know if they're number one in the Big Ten, according to what I think, for what that's worth, but they're definitely near the top of the Big Ten Conference. There's no question about it as well. A number of Big Ten teams, I didn't count them all up, but I think I saw 8 or 9 Big Ten teams that he has projected in his first bracket. Again, this stuff really means nothing, but sitting here in September, heading into October, when we're just hoping for college basketball to be played this year, and it does look like plans are being made for that to happen in some format, it's exciting to think about Indiana being mentioned as an NCAA tournament team before the season begins here in 2020-2021. Big Ten coaches, according to Jeff Goodman of Stadium, as a group, favor a 20-game league schedule, which has been normal the last few seasons. And there was momentum, Goodman writes, for a 22-game league schedule, but he's been told from a source it's likely to remain at the 20. You know, if you're going to be in some sort of bubble or group together, and the conference all has the same protocols and the same testing and so forth, I could see where maybe coaches would say, hey, if we're going to do this and if we're going to be together for a week or a couple weeks at a time, whatever the structure, if it even is a bubble format, who knows for Big Ten games yet. I could see where it would make sense to play a couple more conference games against teams you know are being tested as you are, against teams you know that are coming from the same mythology, the same thoughts, the same agreement as what you are, and going to be there anyways. I could see where something like that would make sense. But according to Jeff Goodman, it does look like the Big Ten schedule is going to remain for now at 20 games, which is what we expected it to be in a normal setting this year. Also, a recruiting note, John Camden, he's a player that I've not talked much about, don't know hardly anything about. He's a member of the 2021 class, so he's a senior. 6'8" guard / wing forward is how he lists himself on his Twitter account profile. He's from Pennsylvania, but he plays high school basketball on the prep school scene at Brewster Academy in the New England area. He will make a decision tonight. Memphis, Indiana, Nebraska, Miami, and Virginia Tech is the final five schools that he released earlier this week, and his decision is set to take place at 7 p.m. I believe he's just going to announce it on his Twitter account. John Camden, you can search for him and find him. I saw a couple other tweets that mention he will choose his school this evening, Nebraska, Memphis, Miami, among several schools involved. Indiana not mentioned there. So interesting to see if he will choose Indiana. I don't know anything about his recruiting. I know very little about him as a player. Honestly, from all the IU guys out there that cover recruiting on a daily basis, there's been very little mention of him. So for Indiana to be in his final five, I have no idea if it's a token in his final five or if he really likes the Hoosiers. But we'll see. He'll make his decision at 7 o'clock tonight, and we'll see out of those five schools who he chooses where he will play college basketball. I don't know if you follow this or not. I know a lot of you are Indiana fans and a lot of you are Southern Indiana people, but Louisville, Kentucky, one of the great rivalries in college basketball, it's kind of been a one-sided affair for a number of years now. Coach Cal has been able to lead Kentucky to wins most of the time over the Cardinals. In fact, I think they've won, is it like 11 of 13? And I could be off there, but I saw the numbers yesterday, and it's definitely been dominated by Kentucky, whether it's been regular season, whether it's been at Louisville, at Kentucky, in the NCAA tournament. It's been dominated for the most part by Kentucky. Now, Chris Mack had said on a podcast, and I don't even know where to credit this to, but it was a college basketball podcast, that the Kentucky-Louisville game, the Governor's Cup, they've agreed to not play it this year, which I think there were some other things that went into that based on conference scheduling and available openings and things of that nature. Why can't we do the same in basketball? Why is it fair for Kentucky to come to our place, the Yum Center, he's saying, this year with no fans or very little fans? I don't know if Louisville's announced what they're going to do fan-wise for college hoops this season. And then have to turn around, we hope, when things are normal the following year, go to Kentucky and Rupp Arena with fans packed in and, of course, very few Louisville people able to get a ticket and able to get into the game. Coach Cal didn't like that, and so Chris Mack put a video out last night that was kind of funny, was very funny, actually, and basically he trolled John Calipari. He talked about the date that they had agreed on, but yet Kentucky wouldn't play on that date. Kentucky would eventually go on to schedule another opponent on that date. He says the Kentucky called around their back, around Louisville's back, to ESPN directly, tried to get them to move an ACC game with no knowledge by Louisville of this so they could work out maybe dates for the Louisville-Kentucky game. But if you haven't seen the video, it's about 2 minutes, and definitely add some fire to this already surreal rivalry, which we get to experience. Even as Indiana people, you know the hatred, the dislike, the rivalry that exists between Louisville and Kentucky. And a video like this from Chris Mack, whose team really needs a win in the series to kind of make it more relevant again in the offseason, where there's not been a lot to think about, and when we're all excited about college basketball, this definitely adds some fire to the Louisville-Kentucky rivalry. There's no question about it. The number one takeaway I had from things after acknowledging that Chris Mack is a funny guy is that, you know, this is exactly why the Indiana-Kentucky game should be played. And you think about Coach Cal and how he's kind of sidestepped some things in this series and wants to play at a neutral site and so forth. I miss the banter back and forth. I don't know that the coaches have ever in that series went back and forth at each other, but it reminds you that these rivalries are special, that we're in a special area for college basketball with Indiana, Louisville, Kentucky, and that it means a lot to the fans, and these rivalries are big deals, not just to the fans that are there, but to the television audiences and the fan bases from all these big schools and all these great college basketball followings in the country that are right here. And so hearing the banter back and forth is cool for that series, and I'm glad it's going to be played, and I sure enjoy watching that game, but there would be nothing better to see Indiana and Kentucky get back together and play. I think most Indiana fans, I think a lot of Kentucky fans agree with that sentiment as well. And speaking of that, I know that schedules are tough right now with all these early season events, and even in a normal year, there are things you got to do to build your resume. There are certain events you want to get in, certain showcase-type games on national television that you want to get in. But Indiana and Louisville is a game that went away and came back and has went away again that would be neat and I just think should be played. I don't know if there's a way to protect those games with everything else that goes on in the college basketball crazy world of scheduling, especially this year. I know things are nuts, but would love to see those games happen on an annual basis, and I think that the majority of people from both sides, as far as fans go, would like to see those happen as well. High school football this weekend. Let's take a look at where everybody's at. Charlestown will host Cordon Central as the Pirates look for a victory this weekend, get back on the winning path. Clarksville, they are at Brownstown Central, so the Generals, who currently sit at 500 with a 3-3 record, they've got a very tall challenge this week after the last few weeks at Salem and then Silver Creek at home last week. Those have been tough games and tough losses for Clarksville. It gets even more difficult this weekend when they go on the road to Brownstown, who's at the top of the Mid-Southern Conference with Silver Creek also. Floyd Central looks to bounce back after a disappointing loss to Columbus East, which likely decided the Hoosier Hills Conference for this year. They will host Jennings County on Friday. Jeffersonville will host Madison in a Hoosier Hills Conference game. New Albany at Seymour. New Albany 3-2, of course, their game last week at Bloomington North was canceled, so a week off for the Bulldogs. They will play at Seymour, who is 3-3 and coming off a loss at Brownstown last week, and I think that actually will be a pretty good game between New Albany and Seymour this weekend. Providence, they go on the road at Mitchell. They get back to playing on Friday night this week, and Rock Creek, they are at Scottsburg on Friday night as well. Silver Creek will host North Harrison. That should be a decent game in the Mid-Southern Conference, and of course that's a warm-up game, you could say, for Silver Creek, because the very next week on October 9th, week 8 of high school football, the second to last week of the regular season of high school football, Silver Creek will host Brownstown Central, and that obviously, without saying, will be a huge game and a huge challenge for both teams, and ultimately likely determine who wins the Mid-Southern Conference Championship in football for this season. This Friday night, we'll cover New Albany at Seymour. Also, Silver Creek hosting North Harrison. Those are the games that we will follow this week in our Southern Indiana Football Fridays coverage on the Big X. The start time could be a little different on Friday night because we've got Braves playoff baseball each day, including later today when we go off the air at noon if you're listening live here on the Big X. So could be a 6 o'clock start, could be a 6:30 start, but nonetheless we'll have wall-to-wall coverage of high school football Friday and our Southern Indiana Football Fridays coverage. Silver Creek, North Harrison, New Albany, Seymour, those will be our feature games, but we'll have call-in reports. I'll be in studio with constant scoreboard updates and highlights from across the area. No better way to follow high school football on the radio than keeping it with us each Friday here on the Big X. We'll head to a commercial break as that wraps up our Zaxby's headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. When we come back, Matt Weaver of Pigs.com joins. We talk IU football and, of course, the bad storyline, the negative storyline right now, Marcelino Ball out for the season for the Hoosiers. We'll talk about how that affects this Indiana team and a lot more coming up next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Wednesday program. Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, joins as we talk IU football in this segment, getting ready for the season. Less than a month now until the Big Ten is back in action this fall and rejoins many of the other big conferences in college football. Matt, we've had some fun times recently because everybody just joyous that Big Ten is going to actually play, and it's going to be synced up for the most part here in the fall with the rest of college football. But obviously there are some concerns about Indiana and how they can compete in an all-Big Ten schedule. Of course, a very tough division that they compete in. The negative news, the really first negative news of the season, was an injury that we learned about over the weekend. Marcelino Ball, one of the very key defensive players, an upperclassman, someone that's experienced with an ACL injury. And anytime you hear those initials, that word, that injury, you know it likely means that the player is out for the season. And this is a big loss for Indiana for many reasons, and you can kind of explain and tell us why.
Yeah, well, Marcelino, when he was committed to Indiana in the 2016 class, and he committed and signed with Indiana after Tom Allen came on as defensive coordinator. And Tom Allen really headed up his recruitment because in this defense that he runs, the 4-2-5, that fifth kind of DB, they call it the Husky, he saw Marcelino as a perfect fit. And basically, Marcelino's been the guy at that spot for the last 4 years. Now, he did, in 2017, he played in the first three games, the third game of the year, which would have been his sophomore season. He suffered an injury and missed the rest of the year. So, obviously, they had to adjust there. But he's basically been the guy. And, obviously, you rotate guys in as you do on defense. He doesn't play every snap. But he's been, you know, the starter, the main guy for 4 years, and he's played. So he's obviously had some ups and downs. As you know, sometimes in coverage he can have some issues. But he's a really good player, especially against the run. Good blitzer. You know, a guy they like to use. I know they had some plans this year to use him kind of as a rusher, pass rusher off the edge. So it's a tough loss. There's no doubt about it. You know, the silver lining is Bryant Fitzgerald, the backup, is a guy who's played there before from here in Avon. Has played there before, played safety the last couple of years, but has also seen some time at Husky, and it's a role that fits him very well. He was going to play a lot this year along with Marcelino at that position. But, yeah, anytime you lose an athletic guy, Marcelino is, you know, he's one of these kind of freakish-type athletes. He's just, you know, strong, fast, can run, jump, do all the things, obviously, that you want a guy to be able to do. So it's tough to replace that guy. And, obviously, the experience level, you can't replace that. There's just no way you can do it. So, you know, they're going to have to move some guys around and do some things. But, you know, the defense does have a much better level of talent, so it's much more manageable. But there's just nobody's going to do it by themselves. You're going to have to do it by committee.
Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, IU football is the topic. We've heard from Tom Allen recently, and I know he covered a number of topics that I want to get into with you today. One of those topics is rapid testing, and that I think is going to be something that, as the college football season as a whole rolls along, we hope, we're going to be talking about on a regular basis, because these schools now have the ability basically for a quick, very affordable test, and testing is going to be done on a very structured schedule for Indiana, for the Big Ten, and I assume most all of college football. They have some sort of pretty detailed plan about how they're going to perform and how often they're going to perform these rapid testing. When does that start at Indiana? I believe it started, and as Indiana's back on the football field, and any word on how that's going? Have there been any positive cases since the IU football team has been back together, or has IU not said?
Well, earlier this month, and I don't remember the exact date, it was on a Wednesday when the Big Ten came back out and said that they were playing, and you know, they were going to have a season. We got Tom Allen the next day, I believe it was a Thursday, and he said the daily antigen testing that the Big Ten is providing starts today, the 30th. But Indiana actually started it back on that day, so they've been doing it for I'd say about a week and a half, close to 2 weeks, I think, if I have the dates right. And he said Monday they've had over 1,200 tests done, and only one positive, and that person was somebody that is not a football player or a full-time staff member. So that's obviously fantastic news, that 1,200 tests and only one positive, and not be, you know, a key personnel person as far as a player or a coach or somebody like that. So obviously you'd like to have zero tests, but that's pretty darn good. One out of 1,200 and nobody, you know, instrumental as far as, you know, you're the football program. So the testing seems to be going great. Just daily, as we said numerous times, this daily testing that they are able to do now is such a game changer. It makes things, it doesn't obviously remove all the risk, but it makes it so much easier to where you can practice every day with the peace of mind knowing that everybody on that field is negative. There's no, you know, because in the past, you know, you do a test, you might have to wait a few days. So there could be a guy out there that you don't know about because you're waiting for his test to come back. And so now none of that, you can have practice. You know, you still have to do all the guidelines, the protocols, you know, but obviously just such a great thing to have. And it's, so far it's working well for Indiana.
Talking with Matt Weaver, Pigs.com. Another topic to bring up is how this Indiana team is going to get ready for the return to football and for games, which we know they'll open against Penn State later in October. Coach Allen discussed that some as well. He mentioned a series of scrimmages, and I believe the first of those scrimmages is this weekend. Now, when I say scrimmage, it's obviously an inter-squad type event, but they are working up to basically the weekend before the Penn State game, playing a full-out inter-squad scrimmage game that will be very structured and very scripted from start to finish.
Yeah, and I mean, that's something that they've done in the past, but obviously with, you know, all the time off and the starts and stops and you know, these scrimmage games kind of take on even more importance. And one, you know, I know the one that's the last one before the first game of the season, so that'll be, what, the 17th, the weekend of the 17th. It'll be a mock game, which means basically they'll have the routine that they have on a game day for a home game. You know, they'll probably eat whenever, you know, by then we should know, I would assume we'll know what time they're playing. And I think there's still some, they could play on a Friday. They could play on the 23rd. Coach Allen mentioned that the other day. They don't know if it's going to be Friday or Saturday, but you know, they'll probably try to eat at the same time that they would on for the actual game. They'll do all the same thing, you know, just go through the whole routine so the team knows exactly what it's going to be like the next week. And then they'll obviously go out and play the game, and the scrimmage, I should say, and you know, work on things. But yeah, they set this up, and so it's, so when they get to game day, none of it's new for the players. It's something they've already done before.
Talking IU football here on the Hoosier Report. Also, the Penn State game itself, I keep thinking it's on Saturday, October 24th. I think actually the official schedule on the IU Athletics website says that currently. But according to what we've learned this week, that game really isn't set for sure. It could be a Friday game, which would be October 23rd, or it could be on that Saturday, October 24th. We know the Big Ten will again be playing games Friday night this fall. That, I don't know, makes a huge difference. Obviously, we've got high school football on Fridays. You and I have went down that path before about how really playing IU games and Big Ten football on Friday greatly affects some of the really good high school environments we have in the Midwest and in the Big Ten footprint. But any word on when we'll know? Is that going to be a Friday or Saturday opener for Indiana?
I would think we'd know here in the next week or two. I'm not sure when they'll, you know, a lot of it depends on TV. And so you kind of, you know, during the season, we would usually find out games. So I think they would try to do it like not the week of, but maybe like the week before. So, you know, about 12 days out, something like that. So I would assume, I would think by the latest October 12th, you know, right around that time, 10th, 11th, 12th. I went to on NCAA.com, I was actually looking at the schedule. It says Nebraska at Ohio State on Fox. So I would assume that's going to be, my guess is that'll be a Saturday game on Fox. And then you look at the rest of the schedule, Michigan and Minnesota is a big game. Penn State and Indiana would be right up there as a big game. So I think that has a chance to be, you know, a Friday night or a primetime type of game. You know, Penn State's obviously one of the top ranked teams in the country, and Indiana's a team that's getting a lot of buzz, not just around here, but kind of nationally from some people. So it's kind of a, you know, I'm going to say it's a, you know, marquee matchup as in, you know, two top 10 teams, but it's obviously a kind of an appealing matchup for television. So, you know, I could definitely see that being a Friday night or Saturday afternoon type of game where they have it on one of the major networks. So, you know, hopefully we find out soon because it makes it easier for all of us in the media to kind of plan, you know, how we're going to do things. But you know how TV works. We're kind of at their disposal, I guess.
Yeah, no question about it. Reading about Penn State, there's been some preview material already. I think everybody, including the media, just excited that we've got football this fall in the Big Ten. But reading more about Penn State this week from some of the newspapers up their way is just a reminder. Then to see them, I think, enter the Associated Press poll at number 10 in the first week that Big Ten schools are eligible, even though they haven't played a game yet and these other conferences have played multiple games. Just kind of a reminder that this is really a big challenge for Indiana right out of the gate, where we will find out a whole bunch about this football team, because you mentioned Penn State not just getting some pretty high marks in the Big Ten Conference for this year, even on the national level, some they're being recognized.
Yeah, absolutely, and they've got a lot of guys back, especially on offense. Defense, they got some holes to fill, and you know, obviously a big one was Micah Parsons, the linebacker who opted out when it looked like the Big Ten wasn't going to play this fall. I haven't heard. I know some guys have opted back in, obviously, you know, Rondell Moore at Purdue and some guys at Ohio State. So far, Micah Parsons hasn't opted back in, and I don't know. I kind of get the feeling that he's not going to, but, you know, I guess we'll have to wait and see on that. But, you know, you're talking about a guy that I've been – you know, you look at mock drafts, what they're worth. This is a guy that's projected to go top 5-10 in next year's NFL draft. I mean, he's considered maybe the best linebacker in football. So that's a big time, you know, but they still have talented guys. I mean, Penn State's recruited really well under James Franklin. Like I said, offensively, their quarterback's back in Clifford. Pat Freiermuth, who might be the best tight end in football, or at least in the discussion, is good back. They got offensive linemen back. You know, they lost KJ Hamler. Obviously, he went pro and is playing now for the Denver Broncos. So that was a big loss, but this is a talented team. It's a team that Indiana's played toe-to-toe the last couple of years and, you know, quite honestly, probably should have won one or maybe both of those games. But you're going to have to play well. I mean, you're going to have to play a good game because it's a talented team. And it'll be interesting to see. We've seen in these first games some upsets, some teams, you know, maybe kind of being rusty because of the layoff and not having all the practice time you normally have. So it'll be interesting to see which team comes out and is sharper and more on their game and ready to play that. I think everybody might be ready to play, but just where you are at as far as your, you know, just your rhythm and your chemistry as a team playing football, you know, because obviously the teams that come out quickest are going to be obviously in the best shape.
Yeah, Matt, with some of these players back, Rondell Moore has been a big hitter locally because of his connection to Southern Indiana as well at Purdue. I saw Michigan had a primetime player coming back. Ohio State, a couple guys they announced earlier this week as well. Does any of the returning players so far, I know there could be more, but I think we've pretty much got where we're at. Does it change your thought on the standing of any of these teams in the Big Ten Conference, starting with Purdue, who was not expected, I don't believe, projected to have a great season. But now you look at Rondell Moore, you look at David Bell together, and may give Purdue a little extra boost in what people think they can accomplish in the Big Ten this season.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you get a guy back like Rondell Moore, and obviously, you know, he's fantastic. I think he is NFL talent. I think he's going to be a great NFL player. And you know, what he did 2 years ago was just amazing. And obviously he was on his way to doing that again last year, but unfortunately he had the injury. You know, to me, the questions though for Purdue are still the same. Defensively, they're going to a new scheme, a 3-4. They've been playing a four-man front. So, and they haven't had, they didn't get a lot of spring ball. It's been so stop and start with what's going on with the pandemic, obviously. So the questions on defense are, you know, they struggled last year defensively. Obviously, they wouldn't have made a change if they didn't. How much better are they? And then their O-line, to me, is a weak spot on their offense, unless they prove otherwise. So while it's great to have Rondell Moore back, if they have trouble blocking, you know, it'll help. But if you can't block for the quarterback and he doesn't have time to throw the ball, it's still going to be tough. But I do think if they get the protection up front, their offense is going to be arguably maybe right up there with Ohio State as far as highest scoring, because they're probably going to have to score a lot of points. Because I think defensively they're going to have some issues because of the new scheme and just, you know, the struggles that they've had on that side of the ball. But, you know, it definitely makes them more dangerous. I mean, you're talking about a guy on kickoffs, punt returns, obviously on offense, he changes the game. He can change it. We saw many times 2 years ago, one play and he could completely change a game. So he did against Ohio State. You know, he's just a phenomenal talent. So, yeah, it definitely helps them. With Ohio State, they have great talent. Those guys coming back helps, but they were still going to be a top three, two, three, four team in the country. So, you know, that for me is it's not a, you know, the one that's a big deal, I think Rashad Bateman at Minnesota, because they lost another receiver. I apologize, his name escapes me. He's in the pros now. And getting Bateman back, he's a big-time guy. He's an All-American type. So for Minnesota, that's a big-time get-back because they have all their offense back. Their O-line's back, their quarterback's back, and they got some good running backs. So getting back that receiver, you know, they almost have a whole offense coming back. So that to me might be the biggest one just because of the impact I think he'll have for the Gophers.
Let's talk about college football as a whole. With what we've seen so far, there have been some surprising losses by some of the favorites in college football. Ohio State has been mentioned for the college football playoff. Who do you see as the best of the best in college football this year? Maybe teams that could be battling for a spot in the Final Four of college football.
Well, obviously Clemson looks pretty good. Now Clemson, and you know, it's just the way it is. The ACC is not as strong, obviously, as the SEC and the Big Ten, so their road's a little bit easier. Ohio State, you know, they talked about it. They got a pretty good break on the schedule, the eight-game schedule in the Big Ten. You know, obviously Penn State's in their division. That'll be a tough game, and they got to play Michigan. But they've kind of owned Michigan, to be perfectly honest, the last five, six, 7 years. So unless something drastically changes, you feel pretty good about Ohio State being undefeated and playing in the Big Ten championship, you know, December 19th. I think that's the date. Alabama, I would expect to be, once again, one of the top teams. A lot of people thought Oklahoma, but, you know, that game Saturday, you know, they had a big lead on Kansas State and kind of fell apart at the end. And I was actually watching that game and turned it off and was kicking myself afterwards because I turned it off because I thought it was over. And, but, you know, I would say those three teams, who the fourth team will be, you know, it's kind of hard to say. Miami, you know, might be a sneaky team in the ACC. Now, they got to get through Clemson. And I don't know if you're going to get two teams out of the ACC in the playoff. But they've looked pretty good early on. And so I think they could give Clemson a real run for their money. But I would say, obviously, you know, it's kind of day, you know, Groundhog Day with this. It's usually Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama the last few years. And I think those will be the top three, and it'll just be kind of interesting to see who that fourth team, who emerges to join them in the playoff.
Absolutely. Matt Weaver, Pigs.com. Matt, final football subject with you for today. Hoosiers in the NFL. Tell us how the program is doing at the professional level as we kind of look at week three of the 2020 season.
Yeah, I do a story on that. I put that out, I put that out yesterday, I believe. They got like 10 guys. There's actually 11 guys. Simon Stepniak, you know, he tore his ACL, if everybody remembers, leading up to the bowl game in bowl practices. Really unfortunate injury. But that's obviously about a year recovery or close to it. And he had to he's basically on the injured reserve. It's almost like a redshirt year for him. But you got Tevin Coleman, who was starting for their – playing a lot for the 49ers. Suffered a knee injury. He's going to be out for a few weeks. Jordan Howard's playing down there for the Dolphins, kind of their goal line back. Dan Feeney, Los Angeles Chargers. He was supposed to be their starting left guard. They've had some injuries on their O-line, so they moved him to center. So he started there. Wes Martin started left guard for the Redskins. Brandon Knight, the Cowboys have had some injuries. He started at left tackle for the Cowboys. You know, Nate Sudfeld's not really playing there for the Eagles. Ian Thomas has been starting for the Carolina Panthers. Nick Westbrook got in some playing time this past week. Actually had a couple targets thrown his way. Didn't have any catches. So, you know, it's not a huge list, not as big as some schools, but it's getting up there. And Indiana's starting to be more of a presence in the NFL. And it's really, I think, what you can really sell if you're the Indiana staff is the number of O linemen that you've got in the NFL and who are playing significant roles. Like I mentioned, Dan Feeney and Brandon Knight and Wes Martin. And these are some guys that were coached by this current staff. So Jason Spriggs is on the Bears roster. I think he's been out with an injury. But, you know, they're definitely getting more. And I think over the next few years, there's going to be several more draft picks from IU.
Absolutely. Matt Weaver, Pigs.com. He's the best voice when it comes to IU football and what's going on with the program. And, of course, as we get closer to the start of the Big Ten season, we'll have Matt with us on a regular basis. Matt, thank you so much for the chat, and we'll talk with you soon.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, here on this Wednesday edition of the program. Stay with us, a quick break, and we're back to talk some high school football and local storylines in sports with Josh Cook. He's the sports editor of the News and Tribune. Our segment with Josh is brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 shirt. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Josh. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 t-shirt. They offer custom apparel to meet all of your needs, including t-shirts, uniforms, corporate wear, and promotional items. Let Major League Shirt Company outfit your team or organization today. You can visit mlshirtco.com to find out more. They bring you this segment each Wednesday with Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, as we talk things from a local sports perspective here in Southern Indiana. And Josh, we are moving right along, not only through the high school football season, where we're headed to week 7 on Friday night, but also other high school fall sports as well. Some of the postseasons are underway. Others, we just saw the draw for soccer and some other sports getting ready to begin as well. We've made it to the postseason of some of these fall sports, and we've got some exciting moments ahead.
Yeah, it's crazy that we have, knock on wood, and we'll continue to, but that's great. And we've got girls golf state finals coming up this weekend. Floyd Central's Sophie Cook is in it as an individual, and I think she tees off Friday morning about 8:30 up in Carmel. So that'll be interesting. And then boys tennis sectionals get underway at Floyd, Jeff, New Albany, and the Silver Creek today, so that'll be exciting too.
And in addition to the golf state and the tennis that you just mentioned, soccer is getting ready to begin its postseason as well. And of course, we're not far away, Josh, from finding out the pairings for the football state tournament. So a very busy time.
Yeah, for sure. Soccer starts Monday, Tuesday, next week, so that'll be interesting. And then volleyball, too, will be right around the corner as well.
Yeah, no question about it. Busy times ahead, and you can follow Josh and the sports team at the News and Tribune, all their coverage in the News and Tribune print edition. And, of course, you can find it online as well at newsandtribune.com/sports. Always talk high school football with you this time of year. We kind of recap the week before and talk about what's ahead on Friday night. But before we do that, there was a big story earlier this week that you guys had. That's Zen Mikowski of Floyd Central, who's committed or was committed to the University of Louisville and has been since the summer. Really a big-time prospect and has had a good senior year so far for Floyd Central, part of their success. And I know they have big plans the rest of the way and into the state tournament as well. But he decommitted from U of L in a tweet he sent out over the weekend or earlier this week, and now has, or even in college football, we've talked about this before, Josh, it's crazy. A verbal commitment basically doesn't mean much at all. Even after he committed to Louisville, he had some other really big-time college football programs checking in and even some scholarship offers as well. So as he decommits from Louisville, he has plenty of options, maybe even bigger, more competitive schools on a national level to consider on where he might actually end up going.
Yeah, it's all a fluid situation, as you mentioned. So, offers are still coming in, and getting that offer from Ohio State, in early September, that was huge. I think they saw him play against Cincinnati Elder down there when they played at Elder. So that was huge. And you kind of knew when that offer came in that might be a little, sign of things to come. And then, Florida State and Penn State more recently, but yeah, hard to turn down. So if somebody like Ohio State offers you a scholarship, man, it's hard to turn that down. So we'll see what happens with his recruiting.
Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. This segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company. Josh, week 7 of high school football this week,
And I hate to say this because we appreciate, especially in this time, every game, every week we get of high school football. And, of course, we're looking forward to high school basketball as well. But I'm looking forward to the next week when Silver Creek and Brownstown take on each other and what very likely will be the Mid-Southern Conference Championship game. But before we can get that far, we've got some pretty good games on the docket this week. New Albany at Seymour. Of course, North Harrison at Silver Creek. I think the Dragons are the favorite there, but should be a pretty good game. Those are a couple games that stood out to me. As we head into this week, talk about what's on your mind as far as high school football here in the area with Clark and Floyd County teams.
Yeah, you mentioned New Albany and Seymour. Seymour hadn't lost in the conference, so you know they're tied with Columbus East at 3-0, so that'll be a good game for New Albany to see if they can go up there and win. Obviously, they didn't play last week, so you know, had kind of another week to prepare and or rest, you know, some of their big guys. So we'll see what happens there. Yeah, North Harrison, Silver Creek will be an interesting game. Silver Creek still trying to stay unbeaten. North Harrison's got a big running back, Aaron Neville, I think his name is. He had a big game at Charlestown earlier this year, and, you know, he's a load. He's like a Jerome Bettis kind of guy. But and then another interesting game is Madison at Jeff, you know, Jeff's going to finally reopen its player field this Friday night. So that'll be nice to see, you know, all the improvements that they've made, you know, the field, the press box, all that kind of stuff. And just like Charlestown, you know, coming off last week's game when unfortunately they were really shorthanded. They host Gordon Central this week. So that's another interesting game. And then Providence travels to Mitchell, which I think is a very winnable game for Providence. You know, they've had some struggles, but they've been close in a couple games against Clarksville and then last week against Holy Cross. So I think that's a very winnable game for Providence. And then Rock Creek travels to Scottsburg and Floyd Central hosts Jennings County. You know, Clarksville visits Brownstown, so we'll see if Clarksville can kind of bounce back.
Josh,
from their loss. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Silver Creek, you know, they played Brownstown pretty competitively last year, so we'll see what happens this time.
Josh, we have about a minute or less left. Your thoughts last week, we've been high, both of us, and I think a lot of people on Floyd Central. Were you surprised at the result against Columbus East? Really not that competitive?
Yeah, I was definitely surprised by the score, that's for sure. You know, they got down 14-0. I was talking to Coach Bragg this week, and he was giving me some more details. They only had the ball twice in the first half, so that kind of limited their ability to score. And they had a couple turnovers and penalties. So, yeah, but we'll see if they can bounce back this week.
Absolutely. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. That will wrap up our Wednesday program. Thanks for being with us. Back with you Thursday at 11 o'clock. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.